One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
This is the podcast where the dark and creepy things we don't talk about discover a voice. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
So imagine this. You move into what seems like the perfect apartment with your best friend. You're 21, starting a new chapter in your life, college, work, the freedom of your own place. What could possibly go wrong, right? You've signed the lease, you've unpacked the boxes, and the future is yours. But then things start to get weird. At first, it's just strange dreams, right? You wake up in the middle of the night feeling like something's not quite right, but you brush it off as your imagination. Maybe you ate something bad for dinner, or maybe it's the stress of balancing school and work. But what happens when the dreams turn physical? What happens when you wake up with bruises on your body that weren't there the night before? And here's the kicker. Your door's locked, your roommate's asleep in his own room, and you know for a fact that nobody came in? But that's just the start. It gets worse, so it gets much worse. Because what if the one person you trust, the one person who's been your friend through thick and thin, starts acting strange? What if one night you wake up to find him standing beside your bed, staring at you with eyes that don't even seem human? And when you call his name, it's not his voice that answers. Now let me ask you this. How do you fight something you can't even see? How do you defend yourself against an invisible force that can paralyze you, assault you, and leave you wondering if the person next to you is even the same person you once knew? All right, it's time to dive into this story. And trust me, this one is dark. If you thought things couldn't get any more twisted, just wait. We're about to go to a place that's not just haunted. It's possessed. Dear Tony, I'm writing this because I need to get it off my chest. This story is something I've kept inside for too long, and I'm not sure how much longer I can deal with it without talking about it. It's not easy to share, but here goes. I'm a 21-year-old woman living in Louisville, Kentucky. About 2 years ago, in December of 2008, I moved into a nice three-bedroom apartment with my best friend, Dave. We went to school together, graduated, and thought it would be a great idea to get a place together. Dave took the two smaller bedrooms, and I got the master bedroom and bath. The apartment was perfect, in a quiet neighborhood, and honestly, everything seemed great. At first, it was just normal. You know, the everyday stuff of figuring out how to live with someone else, scheduling time for the bathroom, taking turns cooking, and deciding whose turn it was to clean up the mess we made watching late-night TV. It was all fine, normal. But then, not long after we moved in, things started to feel off. I don't even know when exactly I started noticing it, but it was probably a few months after we'd settled in.
I'd be lying in bed about to startled, my heart racing, and look around the room, but no one was there. It wasn't
At first, I thought I was going crazy. Maybe it was just some weird, vivid dream, right? I didn't want to believe it could be something worse, but after it happened for the third or fourth time, I noticed something else. Bruises. I was waking up with bruises, and I had no idea how they got there. I'd touch my arm or my side, and it would ache like I'd been hit, but I couldn't explain how. I locked my door every night after that, just in case. I didn't tell Dave what was happening, because honestly, I didn't want to freak him out, or worse, have him think I was losing my mind. And the room was freezing. I'd wake up shivering, no matter how many blankets I piled on. Even in the dead of summer, the room felt like an icebox. I didn't want to be in there anymore. I started spending more time in the living room watching TV until I could barely keep my eyes open. It was the only way I could fall asleep without dreading the night. Around this same time, I noticed something else. This constant feeling of being watched. I'd be in the kitchen making a sandwich, and I'd swear someone was standing behind me. I'd be reading on the couch and suddenly feel like eyes were on me. But when I looked up, there was nothing. Things in the apartment started moving on their own, too. I'd set something down, walk away for a minute, and when I came back, it would be gone, only to turn up later in a different spot. It was small stuff at first, like my keys or a book, but it was enough to make me question my sanity. Finally, I talked to Dave. I didn't tell him about the groping. How could I? It sounded too crazy, but I told him about the feeling of being watched and the things disappearing, and that's when he admitted something to me. He'd been feeling it too. He didn't want to say anything because, like me, he didn't want to sound nuts, but he had also felt like someone or something was in the apartment with us. That's when we decided to do something about it. We're both pretty religious. He's Catholic and I'm Baptist, so we decided to sprinkle holy water around the apartment. It felt like the right thing to do, you know? Like maybe we could drive whatever it was away. We went room by room, sprinkling the water and saying the Lord's Prayer. And for a while, it worked. The weird feeling stopped. The nights got easier, and I started to sleep again without waking up in a panic. For nearly a month, it was like everything went back to normal. But then it came back. It was in January of 2010, and I was asleep in my room. Everything was quiet. Too quiet. Suddenly, I felt a hand around my throat, not the kind of gentle touch you'd expect in some odd dream, but a real, solid grip. I woke up in a cold sweat, but I couldn't scream. I couldn't move. It was like something had pinned me down, holding me in place, while it squeezed my throat just hard enough to make me panic. I tried with everything I had to move to yell, but it was no use, and then it got worse. I felt another hand grab my nightgown and yank it up. I was so terrified that I could barely breathe. How do you fight back when you can't even see what's attacking you? I was groped again, violently this time, and I heard it, a deep, guttural laugh. It wasn't Dave, it wasn't anyone human, it was something else. Something dark. I thought I was going to die. I must have passed out because when I woke up the next morning, my nightgown was still pulled up, and I had bruises on my neck. I couldn't take it anymore. I broke down and told Dave everything. I told him about the dreams, or whatever they were, the bruises, the cold, and the thing that had attacked me. And that's when Dave dropped another bombshell. He'd been having experiences, too. He told me he'd been waking up in the middle of the night, feeling like something was touching him, like he couldn't move. He was paralyzed, just like me. But he didn't want to say anything because he thought it was all in his head. We were both scared out of our minds, so we tried the holy water again, hoping it would work like it did the first time. We walked around the apartment, sprinkling it everywhere, saying the Lord's Prayer and praying that it would go away for good. For a while, it seemed like it did. Where was I? Oh yeah, after we did the holy water routine for the second time, everything quieted down for a few months. For a while, I even let myself believe that it was over. That whatever dark force had been tormenting us had finally given up and left us alone. But I was wrong. So very wrong. It all started back up again. In May or June. This time, though, the fear wasn't just limited to the nightmares or the cold feeling in the room. No, this time things got worse, much worse. I began having nightmares again, but they were different, darker. In these nightmares, I wasn't alone in the bed. I could feel someone next to me, someone dangerous. But the thing is, it wasn't just in my dreams anymore. I'd wake up feeling that same presence, like someone was standing right over me, watching, waiting for me to move. The fear was suffocating, but I tried to ignore it. Then one night, something happened that I will never forget. It was late, probably around 2 or 3 in the morning. I woke up because I felt someone standing next to my bed. At first, I thought it was just another nightmare. But then I saw him, Dave. He was standing beside me, staring down at me with these eyes that didn't look like his own. His pupils were dilated, and his expression was blank, almost like he was in some kind of trance. I called his name softly, thinking maybe he was sleepwalking or something, but he didn't respond. He just stood there, completely still, as if he wasn't really there. "Dave?" I said again, a little louder this time, hoping he would snap out of it. That's when it happened. He turned to look at me, and in a voice that wasn't his, he said, "Dave isn't here." The moment those words left his mouth, I froze. That voice, it wasn't just different. It was wrong, dark, and full of something I can only describe as pure malice. My heart started racing, and I reached for the bottle of holy water I kept in my nightstand. But before I could grab it, I felt something invisible, grab my arms and pin me down on the bed. I tried to scream, but the grip around my throat was too tight. I couldn't move, couldn't breathe. I was helpless. Dave, or whatever was controlling him, just stood there, watching as I struggled. He didn't lift a finger to help me. Instead, he started laughing, this deep, guttural laugh that chilled me to the bone. It wasn't Dave's laugh, it was something else, something evil. I fought with everything I had to break free, but the more I struggled, the tighter the invisible hands held me down. I was paralyzed, completely at the mercy of whatever dark force had taken over my friend. And then, in one terrifying moment, the thing grabbed my throat and squeezed hard. Hard enough that I could feel the blood rushing to my head. My vision started to blur and I could feel myself blacking out. When I woke up, Dave was still there, but he wasn't standing anymore. He was on the floor, unconscious, covered in bruises and scratches. He looked as beaten and broken as I felt. I pulled myself up, aching and sore from the assault, and tried to wake him. It took a while, but eventually he came to. When I told him what had happened, he looked horrified. He didn't remember anything, not a single thing. He didn't know why he was in my room or how he got there. But what scared him the most was how bruised and swollen he was. And then that he confessed that he had taken a sedative the night before to help him sleep, and that he thought maybe that had something to do with his memory loss. But there was no way the scratches and bruises on his body were self-inflicted. And then there was the fact that his privates were swollen, like he'd been through some kind of physical trauma, too. He said it hurt to even move, let alone use the bathroom. It was clear to both of us that something much darker than a bad dream or sleep paralysis was at play. Dave had been possessed, and whatever had taken over him was using him to hurt me. The worst part? It wasn't just some random entity. It had a plan. It wanted to make sure I knew that I was its. Not Dave's, but its. Whatever was in that apartment had made me its target, and Dave was just a pawn. I couldn't take it anymore. We called a priest and had the apartment blessed. We hung crucifixes everywhere, every room, every door frame. We were desperate. We couldn't leave because we had just signed another lease, but we knew we couldn't keep living like this. Every night after that felt like a ticking time bomb. I didn't know when it would strike again, but I knew it was only a matter of time before it did. Since then, things have been quiet but not peaceful. Dave and I both still have nightmares, dark, twisted dreams where we're trapped in that apartment, unable to escape. Sometimes I wake up in a cold sweat, half expecting to see Dave standing at the foot of my bed again with those black eyes. But so far, it hasn't happened. Not yet, at least. I don't know what to make of it all, Tony. I've heard about possession and ghosts and demons before, but I never thought I'd be living through something like this. I don't know how to explain it to people without sounding like I'm insane. All I know is that something evil is in that apartment, and it's not finished with me yet. We're looking for a new place to live, but we haven't found anything that feels right. Until then, I'm stuck here, waiting for the next attack, hoping that the crucifixes and prayers will be enough to keep it at bay. But I can't help but wonder, what happens if it comes back and this time the crucifixes and holy water don't work? What if it's waiting for the moment when we think we're safe, only to strike again? Sincerely, Jess. So what do you even say after a story like that? I mean, it's not every day you hear about a close friend being possessed by something so dark, so malevolent, that it uses them like a puppet for violence and terror. It's the kind of thing you'd expect to see in a horror movie, but when it's happening in real life, in your own home, there's no easy way to wrap your head around it. What strikes me most here is how subtle it started. A little cold air in the room, a strange sensation of being watched, and you just think, hey, maybe I'm overreacting. Maybe it's nothing. But when things go from the occasional strange experience to being physically assaulted in your own bed, well, there's no pretending that's just your imagination anymore. What Jess went through is horrifying. Imagine waking up to someone you trust, someone you've known for years, standing at the foot of your bed, not even in control of their own body, possessed by something that clearly has a much darker agenda. And let's be clear, it wasn't just trying to scare her. This wasn't some ghostly prankster knocking books off the shelf for kicks. This was something evil, something determined to harm. Now let's talk about possession for a second, because this isn't the first time we've heard about situations like this. The idea of a person being taken over by an external force is ancient. It's woven into the fabric of stories across cultures and religions. What makes this one particularly terrifying is how it used Dave, someone Jess trusted, as its instrument. And it didn't just stop there. It made sure Jess knew she wasn't just being attacked by her friend, but by something else. Something that claimed her as its. Here's the thing. Possession isn't just about physical control. It's about domination, about breaking a person's spirit, making them feel like they have no power over their own body, their own life. It's psychological, and it's terrifying. And that's exactly what this entity was doing to Jess. Now, could this be explained by something else? Sleep paralysis, maybe. Sure, it's possible. Sleep paralysis has been linked to vivid hallucinations, the sensation of being watched, and even feelings of suffocation. But when two people experience similar phenomena, when one person literally stands in your room saying, I'm not here, that goes beyond your typical sleep disorder. And then there's the physical evidence, the bruises, the scratches, the aftermath that left both Jess and Dave battered and broken in ways that can't be chalked up to a bad dream. It's hard to dismiss that. So maybe we're not just dealing with sleep paralysis. Maybe we're dealing with something much, much darker. What I can't shake is the thought of what comes next. Sure, they blessed the apartment, hung up crucifixes, and prayed. But is that enough? In cases like this, where something so dark and determined has already made its move, you have to wonder if it's just waiting for the right moment to strike again. Maybe it's lying dormant, waiting for Jess or Dave to let their guard down. Because here's the thing, evil like that doesn't just go away quietly. It might retreat for a time, give you a false sense of security, but it's always waiting. Waiting for the right time, the right moment, to come back and finish what it started. So here's the question I'm left with, and it's not an easy one. What happens if it returns? What if the next time it does, there's no escape? That's the thing about these stories. They leave you wondering. They leave you on edge. Because if it could happen to Jess in her cozy little apartment in Louisville, what's to say it couldn't happen to any one of us?
Want more ghost stories of the paranormal? Press subscribe now wherever you get podcasts. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day, all year long. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.